Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbaribit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, as Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have you seen Yarnup Strong. Now, Gambling Helps is funded by the Queensland Government to provide free services to members of the community who may be impacted by gambling harm. The harm from gambling extends to not just the person gambling, but to those closest to them, family, friends, work colleagues and the community. It can impact the person emotionally, psychologically, financially and physically. It can disrupt their cultural connections and cause great harm to the relationship they value most. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with me in the studio, Alan Blackshaw, Gambling Help Community Educator. And a very good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks, Trevor. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Great to have you. And thank you for coming. First of all, Alan Blackshaw. Who's Alan Blackshaw?
Me? My family, I'll go back to my family. My family comes from Goulburn in New South Wales.
Cold country.
And talking to Trevor early on, we found out that we have a mutual contact there.
Yeah, we do. 6 degrees separation. When we opened our mouth. 2 degrees.
So my family's from Goulburn. I was adopted, so I don't know who my natural family were. Okay. I know a little bit about them, but not a lot. From there, I worked on the south coast of New South Wales and now living in beautiful Cairns.
Saw the light come north, eh?
We did. We did indeed.
Look, so we're talking about the hat that you wear, Gambling Help Community Educator. Look, gambling is a tool. It's for entertainment, but it can become a yucky tool is the word I would use to describe it. It can harm family, friends, colleagues, as I mentioned in the intro. So give us a bit of background regarding Gambling Help Community Educator. Educate us on this vehicle that people are using.
Yeah, look, to start off with, there's no problem with someone gambling, having a bit of fun gambling. It's an entertainment, that's fine. But once it starts to cause harm or negative impact in a person's life or in other people's lives around them, then it becomes a problem.
Sure.
We used to once upon a time talk about problem gamblers. We no longer talk about problem gamblers because we don't want people to be further stigmatised or to feel further shame about issues that they might be having in their lives. What we are saying now is that we're looking at the harm that extends from a person, from gambling, when it gets out of control for a person, when it becomes a coping mechanism for a person and it becomes a little bit out of control. So that can obviously cause financial harm to them, to others, emotional harm. It can also cause them to drink more, take other drugs. So we see it sitting alongside other drugs as well. And it's it can become an addiction. And it can be a difficult behaviour for a person to control. Mm-hmm. So we want to see it through that health lens, that we want to be able to work alongside people to help them, to give them the tools that they need to minimise that harm and perhaps reduce the gambling they're doing. Or some people may have to end up giving up gambling as well.
Sure.
Harm, it's pretty interesting. When we talked about problem gambling years ago, we only saw about 1% of the population, but we know about 10% of the population who gamble are also suffering some degree of harm. And then that extends to their family and friends, their work colleagues, because they may be borrowing money from their work colleagues. It may interfere with their work where they want to get an advance on their on their pay.
Sure. So we're talking about addiction here, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. It can become an addiction. So we think that the research is now saying that gambling harm can impact up to 20%, not just of gamblers, but of the population in general. So of the adult population, 1 in 5 people may be impacted by either their gambling or someone else's gambling.
Mm. So, and with that, you look at so-called we're all big supporters of our football codes, AFL, yep. NRL, you know, professional sports, basketball, whatever it is. The gambling runs coincide with that.
Yes. We see one of the growth areas that we're seeing are people coming to gambling help for support around sports betting.
Yes.
Because like any other form of gambling or any other behaviour, it can become a major problem for them. The problem with sports betting is you can just grab your phone out and do it very quickly, and you don't even see the money. It can be play money for all.
Sure.
So it's got that further one step disconnection.
True monopoly.
Away from money. So it can feel like monopoly money. We in particular do see a lot of quite a number of young tradies because they finish work earlier and they might gamble together. We also might see them after young blokes might go play a football game, go to the pub afterwards and put a few bets on. For most, it's fine. Mm. But for some people, it starts to get out of control, and then that harm factor comes into play, and that's when we would really like them to come and seek help as early as possible.
Well, we're talking about entertainment, and you open it up with in regarding gambling. Yes, it is entertainment. When you get your pay packet, your bills are paid, your rent's paid, or your mortgage is paid, and your electricity paid, and food's in the fridge, so to speak, in the cupboard, then you got money aside for the gambling, which is your entertainment. Some people like to go and buy jewellery. Some people like to go jet skiing. Some people like to go away on a weekend. But if gambling's it, as long as you stay within that perimeter, you would say in that budget.
Yeah, look, and it makes a lot of sense to be able to budget first.
Yes.
The thing is that we all come to those choice points. Mm-hmm. Some people make choices that go towards that value of paying things up front first. Other people decide to do other things first.
Sure. So,
but as I said before, it's as long as it's not creating harm in a person's life, there's no problem with gambling. It would make a lot of sense to budget first, mm-hmm. pay your bills first, then have an entertainment dollars and play money.
Okay. Now, gambling help community. The individual has to reach out, or can a friend, a family member reach out for the individual? How does that work, and is there engagement when a friend or family member reaches out?
Yeah, look, we talk to both the person themselves if they reach out, family members, that if they are concerned about another family member's gambling, they're already impacted by the harm of that gambling. It's already at a stage where they're reaching out to help. So we'll talk to them as well. So as I said, anyone who's impacted by gambling, we find sometimes that the person who's gambling may not recognise that it's a problem yet, but other people may recognise it first. We often talk to people who come to us first, and then the person who's gambling may come later after that person's been to see us, has got some information, and is able to just probably talk to their partner.
Yes.
It could be their parent who's gambling, it could be their children. We find that it extends from the person gambling. Once it's at a stage where it is causing harm, that can be to parents, children, extended family, their friends, and even into the workplace where they may be borrowing money, as we've said before, from their mates.
Now, it's hard to police, or I don't know if they've got the right to do so, but if you've got the local publican who's aware of someone in this situation, can they stop them from coming in?
They can talk to the person, and they can recommend that they seek help. The person themselves can self-exclude. Self-exclusion is a great tool.
Good.
Many people don't come for counselling. They come for us to help them to exclude from a venue.
Okay.
The process is pretty simple. You can exclude yourself from, in Queensland, you can exclude yourself from the whole venue or part of the venue.
Okay.
So you might choose that I still want to go out with my friends and have a good time, to have a meal, to have a drink, to socialise, but I don't want to go into the gaming room. So you could exclude yourself from the gaming room, and we'll help you with the paperwork for that. And that works incredibly well because there are penalties if you do breach that self-exclusion down the track.
Yep.
What happens is that you fill out the self-exclusion paperwork, we take a photo, you supply us with a copy of your driver's license, that goes off to the venue, comes back to, they'll send you an email. Once you receive that email, you've got 24 hours to change your mind, and then it stays in place for 5 years.
Okay.
After 12 months, you can ask for that to be reviewed, but otherwise it's a five-year period, and then you can renew it again. We often have, I thought at first, when I first started working in this sector, that self-exclusion, I didn't think it would work. But for many, many people, it's incredibly successful. It provides that psychological barrier.
Yes.
So they can still go into a venue and they know that they're not going to gamble.
Yeah,
they've
sure.
got that wall.
They signed the contract, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like a contract and it's a deal they've made with themselves, with the venue, with the government. If the venue do spot you there and you are in the gaming room and are playing the machines, they can ask you to leave that area. They can also, if you do win on the pokies, when you've excluded yourself from the pokies, you won't be paid out.
Sure. Okay, fantastic. OPE, other people's experience. So you would have come across a lot of different stories and different scenarios, not to mention any names, but can you paint some picture about the devastation of gambling?
Oh, look, we talk to a whole range of people. The thing about gambling is that it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what your culture is, what your class is, what your educational standard is.
How old you are.
Even though it does, people are more likely to initially get caught up, often younger.
Okay.
We know that from research it's 18 to 34-year-old males in particular. So young blokes are particularly vulnerable as far as getting caught up with gambling and gambling harm goes. Look, some of the stories we have, as I said, tradies. I've spoken to quite a few young tradies who've come in and to talk about their gambling. Sometimes they come in because their parents have wanted them to come in. We often have less success with people that who've been sent along because they feel they have to make mum and dad happy or their wife happy.
So they're not committed to the change, so to speak.
Yeah. But sometimes if they've realised that, well, if my partner or my mum's seen this as a big problem and has spoken to me about it and has made the call to these blokes, these people at Gambling Help, then maybe it is a problem, maybe I need to think about it. So I've had one particular young bloke in particular where his partner rang up and it was about sports betting. We worked with him on strategies that work for him so he can still go out with his mates, have a good time, and he's got the tools in place so he doesn't feel he has to gamble.
Yep. Are you finding a lot of people are coming to you?
We'd like more to come to
us. Yeah, sure.
One of the things with gambling is that it has a lot of stigma. It's a lot of shame job with gambling.
Okay.
More so than any other addiction. We often say that a person would much rather tell us that they took a truckload of ice on the weekend than that they'd spent a couple of thousand dollars gambling.
Okay.
A lot of shame with gambling. And we want people to know that, you know, we will talk to them in a non-judgmental way. We don't judge you at all. We just want to help.
Want to help.
We would like to see more people come in. It's a hard yards for a person to overcome that shame. To put their hands up is the first barrier. To get them to come and talk to us is the next barrier.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work for them inside. Like a person might ring us up and then mightn't meet with us for a while and then ring us up again later when they're more ready.
Beginning's half done is what we say. To those deadly listeners just tuned in, Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, here at the studios of BBM, Bummer Bipper Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Having a deadly yarn here with Alan Blackshaw, Gambling Help Community Educator. And look, it's across the board regarding gambling and the outside the entertainment side of it. It can be devastating regarding affecting family members, individuals, work colleagues, marriages, business, job opportunities, all the above. As I mentioned, Alan, can you give us some scenarios and some of the stuff that you've come across in regarding devastation of gambling?
Yeah, I can talk to you about an example of one young bloke who came to see me, again with sports gambling. And some years ago, this particular fellow had gotten in trouble with the law because he was in a hole financially and stole from his employer. So he had a legal
over gambling.
Yeah. And he'd found it really hard to kick the gambling
the
habit.
So that's the other thing I've just picked up while you're talking there. So if you've got an addiction happening and then you need money, then you may be going to other sources like stealing money, family members or your workplace.
Yeah. Look, we see things, people steal from their family's money jars. If the family's got a money jar, they take money out of the kids' bank accounts. Credit card fraud's an easy thing for people to fall into.
Yep.
And there are scenarios too where people do things like armed holdups. You know, mug people. It's something that, you know, you're in a financial hole. You're also possibly suffering, you know, emotional distress. You may have anxiety, depression, may not be able to see a way out of it. So people go to that extreme.
Desperate people do desperate things.
And unfortunately, we do see people who self-harm as well.
Sure. So going back to the story, that young fella.
Yep. So he came to us for some help because of that problem that he had with the law. We worked with him through counselling. Haven't seen him for a while, so I trust that he's doing well. Usually people stop coming to see us when they feel they've got enough information and enough tools, and they go away. Gambling's one of those things. Gets a bit sticky, and they tend to come back. But it's like any of those behaviours that are hard to deal with. You've got a habit. You don't change it like that usually. It takes... It can take time after time after time. Exactly. So it takes a number of attempts because you've got to rewire the neural pathways. You've got to rechange how your brain talks to itself.
Sure, fantastic. So to people out there who feel that they're in this situation and they need help and support, how do they contact Gambling Help?
They just give us a quick phone call, and I can give you that. Cairns number is 4050-4988. And even if you're not there, you can leave a message on our answering machine and we'll get back to you. If it's outside working hours, say if it's outside 8:30 to 4:30, Monday to Friday, you can call the Gambling Helpline 24/7.
Yep.
And that's 1-800-858-858.
1-800-858-858. That's the number you need to call. Reach out.
Yep. And you can talk to someone who'll be able to give you some immediate help. And even if you say to them, I really want to talk to a counsellor ongoing, they'll then talk to you about making a referral to us, and they will send us an email so we can talk to you at a later date.
And all confidential, all private, isn't it?
Yeah, our counselling is confidential, it's private and non-judgmental.
Lovely, thank you. Alan, good yarning with you. Thank you very much for sharing. There is a situation out there which is devastating to a lot of people. It is an addiction, and we're here to help and support. Thank you for your yarn. All the best to you, and we'll talk soon, Alan.
Okay, thanks a lot, Trevor. Been great talking.
You too. Take care. So there it is, Alan Blackshaw, a Gambling Help community educator here in Cairns. The phone number 4050-4988. Otherwise, 1-800-858-858. So do reach out. Otherwise, Gambling Help Queensland, QLD, that is, one word, .org.au. So whatever support you need, then reach out. And like I said, beginning is half done. Reach out. They will reach back. Two-way street. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
get on your mob. It's me, Bush Tucker Bundy, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Marasound, Marasound Production. When I was a young boy, I used to wax my old man. Daddy, can you lend me about the song? And speak wah wah, you no forget my boy. You lock them badu man, I say. And speak, I could sing you this song. This song is called the German Mache. Na kizaka, misaka, maika, na paiki waura o baruya. Uba sena kairama.
Still he was impaled on a fence at Waterloo after coming off his bike in 2004. His death sparked a riot, leaving more than 40 police officers injured. A coroner found TJ's death was a freak accident and there was no evidence of a police pursuit. The Hickey family and supporters maintain he was chased to his death.
Enough is enough. We have done nothing wrong. You murdered TJ. We didn't.
It's been a long campaign. No one is planning on giving up.
This world's been going too long. My tired hands gone. Hold on. Please someone take me home. Please someone.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Gonna go catch the night. Jason, not feeling you and me, it's alright. The same idea, you're keeping me in a time.
Yeah, Daily Track there. Let's catch the night, Kian, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. You are yarning with the ball you want, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. BBM Bunbury Beep Media 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Looking at headlines news, National Indigenous Times program delivers first cohort of Indigenous Health Management graduates. 31 students have graduated from Queensland's first diploma of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander Primary Healthcare Management. And a lovely shot here, lovely photo of the guys here. And the program began in March 2025 and was delivered across three intensive retreats before students graduated August, completing the course in 6 months. Queensland Aboriginal and Islander Health Council, that's QAIC, Workforce and Development and Jurisdiction Manager Adam Stevens said the graduates are already making an impact in their communities. Graduates are being supported through their ARCO employers and QAIC's workforce development activities, Mr. Stevens said. This includes sector networking, leadership, and professional development opportunities and the mentoring and peer networks established during the retreats. Many graduates are already in supervisory or management roles, and the diploma has strengthened their capability and confidence to progress further in leadership. QAIC helped coordinate the program on behalf of the sector with funding support from the Department of Health, Disability and Ageing through the Indigenous Health Workforce Traineeship Program, IHWT. Without this support, and most participants would have been ineligible for subsidised training under Queensland's VET funding settings and faced out-of-pocket costs of around $10,000, Mr. Stevens said. Through IHWT, QAIC also covered students' travel accommodation and provided wage reimbursements to backfill frontline staff during the retreat. Registered training organisation Health Industry Training, HIT, delivered the accredited course. QAIC co-designed the model with HIT based on member feedback, ensuring the training was retreat-based, culturally safe and tailored to Queensland's ACTO sector. So, look, fantastic. Congratulations there, all those Delhi students. And we have more First Nations people out there working in this industry, working with our mob. As I said, the best ingredient, best medicine, black on black. And there it is. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. The Delhi number again, 1-800-422-416. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum. Beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum. Beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum. Beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. It's best when I make a big beef but I'm off. Cause all they wanna eat is bully beef over rum. I'm making big sandwiches and not big curves. Smell the curry powder, it's ready to be served. Smell it, taste it, don't wanna waste it. I know you want some more but you never said you taste yet. If you want the recipe, read my list, baby. Don't trippity drip. You're gonna have to step. Beef over rum, beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum, beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum, beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum, beef over rum. We like to taste the bully beef over rum. Beef over rum. It's not just low cross. Yes, it's good when you're cooking for a big mob. It stays fresh when the power's off. See, I cook it up, it tastes good.
Listen to this, Murray.
When I cook, I got a thing.
It's a hunger thing.
Will the mob like it?
Cause it's a mob thing.
Just step right up to the stove in a big pot. Tell the mob you're cooking bully beef over rum.
Hey, which way you mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendaba napi bamada, yendaba kat yendaba bamada, yendaba gadan, yendaba listen.
as they go to their bed. Hey, you there, come and see them cookie cloud rolling. The cloud is rolling in now from the north.
Yeah, that's Buzz, Buzz, Buzz by Daz here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yanup Strong? 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, Yanup with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up Strong. Okay, next segment we got is Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Perry's IGA at Brinsmead and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chewing a banana rather than a Mars bar. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? The Queensland Road Safety Week. The Queensland Police Service QPS is urging community to make safer choices on our roads and drive down the alarming number of traffic crashes that result in catastrophic injury and death. Look, with that, going to catch up and have a yarn with the Senior Sergeant Glenn Dely from Edmonton Police and flying solo. And a very good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. Mm. So flying solo with Steve.
Oh, Steve is on a recruitment drive.
Stephen Brand, yeah.
Yep, I know. He's very busy trying to muster up some more PLOs for that Mount Isa, Cloncurry.
Yes.
Those Burketown, those sorts of areas.
Okay, okay.
Yep,
Roddy,
so
yes.
People are interested.
So does he head that up in regarding PLOs across the far north Queensland?
Yeah, well, not just PLOs. He also looks at recruiting First Nations police officers as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, keeps him very busy.
Yeah, flat tack.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
So he does jet set all over the far north and
living out of suitcases.
Absolutely. Yep.
You the man, Steve.
Yep.
So we're talking about Queensland Road Safety. When we talk about road safety, Queensland Road Safety Week.
Yep.
In actual fact, 52 weeks a year. This is every day, you know, 24 hours, seven
exactly.
days a week, you know, when you're driving a vehicle and what have you. So we're probably alluding to Fatal Five.
Exactly, yeah. And look, our Road Safety Week was last week, 18th to the 22nd of August.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get in here, but as downstairs Ruby said, every week is Road Safety Week.
It is,
you know?
Every
so,
week, yep.
Yeah, we are, you know, we're trying to push this message, particularly because when we have a look at 2024 in Queensland, that was our worst annual road toll in 15 years.
In Queensland, toll, as we're talking about deaths?
Correct. So we had 302 fatalities last year. And, you know, that they're not figures that we want to see on the road.
302 deaths in the state.
And so, look, there's so much police can do. We are out there, you know, we're doing our random breath tests, you know, issuing fines.
Mm.
I think a lot of responsibility remains back on that driver, the individual, once they get into that vehicle, just to be aware that the choices they make from that point forth when the key gets turned, it affects not only their lives, but the lives of many others.
Well, you look at those 300-odd fatalities, very sad. Then you look at people who were involved in that and may have been drivers of that vehicle, and those people have died.
Yeah.
That individual lived with it for the whole of their life.
Exactly.
Sort of thing, yeah? So that, as well as the, look, love, thoughts, prayers going into the family and friends, members who've lost loved ones along the way.
Yeah.
Let's run over the Fatal Five there, please.
Yeah,
Sergeant.
So speed is obviously, you know, a major factor in serious fatal traffic crashes. Fatigue is a huge one, of course. So a driver who's been awake for 17 hours has the similar driving abilities of someone with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.05. And
okay.
That's not something that we think of.
No.
You know, when we're, and particularly with a large state or a large country that we can drive many hours, that at the end of that day, you may be have the ability of a drink driver.
Yeah. Tiredness, yep. Yep. Fatigue, okay, yep.
Yep. Seat belts is certainly unrestrained drivers and passengers. They're 8 times more likely to be killed in a road crash, so those figures are quite high.
Mm.
Distraction. The old mobile phone is usually the blame for the distraction, but, you know, there's many other distractions. It just, you know, kids being noisy in the back of the seat of the vehicle can distract mum's attention or dad's attention.
Exactly.
And you turn around and before you know it, you're involved in an accident.
Mm.
And certainly drink and drug driving. Okay, so drink driving is the number one contributing factor in 30% of our fatal crashes, so that's quite high.
Mm.
One of the interesting ones this year is what they were pushing was not part of the Fatal Five, but moods affecting safe driving. And
moods affecting safe driving.
Yeah.
Yep.
So look, when I read that, I had the same reaction. I thought, yeah, that is dead on the money.
Moods affecting safe driving.
So their scientific research identifies significant links between mood, dangerous driving, and reduced cognitive capability. So, you know, absolutely, if you're quite angry about something and you jump in the car, there's every chance you're putting pedal to the metal and tearing some rubber. And
so in the middle of a heated argument with your lovely wife at home,
yep.
And then she says to you, don't get in the car.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mood-wise, so that is a factor.
Yep, yep. So, look, and I suppose we're just asking members of the public, you know, while their emotions are high, if they find themselves behind the wheel, just to recognise that. And maybe just tune it down a little bit.
Well, you know, when you look at that, for example, you could have had an argument with your a Barney with your other half.
Yeah.
Then as soon as you walk outside the door and you go to get in the car and your neighbour says, hey, Trev, how are you going?
Yeah.
And you, well, what's it to you? sort of thing. If
it's
you're
already
going,
affecting your mood.
Sort of thing. Yeah. That, well, that shows, you know, that mood can be a factor.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. But yeah,
and look, I mean, I was just thinking teenage drivers. You know, they put on, they put on a song that they like. They're happy and they're aroused, and absolutely, their foot's going down.
Good tool.
So look, you know, that's another circumstance where their mood may be affecting the way they drive. So look, it's just about being aware that that can happen. And
so there could be like a fatal six then. If you check a moods in it.
Look, hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it doesn't get there. You know, and I
it's
think
good to be talking about it, but yeah, awareness.
It's a consideration. Absolutely, you know. Yeah. And when we look at those road death tolls, you know, like again, Queensland had its worst death toll last year. Look, the country itself last year didn't have great numbers. A total of 1,294 people lost their lives on Australia's roads last year.
Last year, 1,200.
1,294. So that's 94. That's terrible.
It is.
I just printed out some stats this morning, and so currently for 2025 we're up to 787. So when we consider those numbers, if we were to even meet last year's road death toll, there are 500 people alive right now that aren't going to be alive for Christmas. And when you look at it, reframe it like that, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Scary figures.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Look, and here we are, August, September, yep. October, November, December, like 4 months away, Christmas, what have you.
Yeah.
But it's not about the party time of Christmas, not about the celebration. 24/7, that's what I said, these numbers. Anyone can die any time in a car accident. And if they're not aware or not operating under the Fatal Five, you know, warning, so to speak.
Yeah.
Things can happen.
And that's it. And if we consider these Fatal Five and, you know, and drive to our abilities, look, we can hopefully dial that number right back, you know. And like I was saying, last year certainly was our worst year in Queensland in 15 years. But just an interesting fact there, the highest annual road fatality was 600, and this is in Queensland, was 638. So that's double, more than double that number. And back in, that was back in 1973. Now, what's changed? Look, our vehicles are certainly safer. Our roads maybe a lot better than they were in 1973.
Yep.
But a key indicator was when Queensland introduced the drink driving limit, so the alcohol limit, to 0.05 in 1983.
Yeah.
There was a noticeable decrease in our annual road death toll.
Yeah.
Look, it was 0.08 prior to that.
Brought it back to 0.05.
And just bringing it back to 0.05 made a huge difference.
3.3, yeah.
Yep, and certainly has saved
a lot of lives.
Numerous lives, that's
exactly
right.
Exactly, yeah. And look, it is what it is. I mean, the laws are there to protect us, you know, and that's what it's all about. And if we keep talking about it, speed, fatigue, seatbelts, distraction, drinking, drug driving, you know, we keep mentioning it, be aware of it. I'm thinking about the drink, drug driving. Well, one, you'd be over the limit, so you get booked for that, you know. But drug as well, over the limit drug. But then depending on what drug you're using, and if it's a legal drug, well, all drugs are legal.
Yeah, look, and that's when they talk about drug driving, they're talking about prescription and non-prescription drugs.
Okay,
so some prescription drugs, you are legally taking that, medication. You need to be aware of what side effects it does have.
Sure.
And certainly if
but when the prescription is given out, it probably says don't drive.
That's correct, yep.
So if you drive in with it, then you now have gone outside the law.
That's right. So you're still under the influence of that drug whilst you're using it, you know, and whether it's for medicinal purposes or not.
Yeah, that's right.
That's irrelevant, you know. So we need to consider those factors. And, look, the illegal drugs, they certainly have no place, you know, in your system.
And you'd be getting booked for that as well. I mean, drug and illegal drug and what have you, and it goes on your records.
That's right. Yeah.
What may say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, look, a lot of people probably that use drugs may be thinking that that's a safer alternative on the road, but it certainly isn't.
It's not, yeah. All right, so there we go. Fatal Five, and we just threw in there in brackets mood affecting safe driving as well. So we came across that scientific research, and so we did mention that. Thank you, Glenn. So busy week last week. You couldn't make it in, so you're down to Brisbane.
Yeah, we did a few. We've been involved with a few prison transports
to
Brisbane.
Yep.
And look, that's all about reducing our watch house numbers up here in Cairns, which sometimes we're at capacity.
Yeah.
So you know, and that's not just as in footprint in the in the watch house itself, but also officer to prisoner ratios.
Yeah.
We need to consider and make sure that you know, we've got enough people to look after the people that are in our care at that time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Fantastic. Well, big shout out to Edmonton Police. Thank you very much. You travel safe. We'll yarn soon, and all the best to Stephen Grant.
Good on you. Thanks, Trevor.
Take care, mate. See you. Beautiful yarn there with Senior Sergeant Glenda Lai, Edmonton Police, and big shout out to the crew out there at Edmonton. Fantastic. Thank you for the work that you do. And look, love, thoughts and prayers are going out to family members of the two police officers we lost, and they're still trying to chase this individual, the alleged shooter. So look, there it is. Love and thoughts and prayers going out to boys and girls in blue, and to all our family members out there. Stay safe. And the Fatal Five is so very, very, very important. It's not only 1 week of the year, it's 52 weeks a year. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, which you'll have to do that probably tomorrow. Could Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, going to sign off there today. We've got the news coming very soon, so stay for that. And NERS, big shout out NERS, National News Radio Service. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, you mob. Too deadly.
I've been down and out, but I won't let it get to me. From the past and now the future that I'm visioning, and my position is to get the high standards. But the way that life is, I don't really understand it. But I know that I got something, so I keep going. Music's helped me a lot, and then I've reached those. I do music for my heart and for my people, and I reach for the top of my game. All I ever dreamt of doing is just rocking the stage. It's like I'm stuck in a maze, trying to find a way out of the stress and struggle. This song is with the brothers that are in the same position, feeling the anxiousness to obtain a vision. Instead of selling drugs, make a better decision. But we know it's always hard to put food in the kitchen. Mama, papa, bitchin', and every day is still the same. And this is the story of a warrior. And I say, I'm a warrior, warrior, warrior for life. I'm a warrior, warrior, warrior for life. I'm a warrior, warrior, warrior for life.